Hi, welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm Owen Benjamin, and if you hear bizarre things in the background, because most of you guys listen to this on iTunes, is because I'm sitting in the rain out in my front yard, my favorite place in the world, under a tent, in front of a fire, analyzing comedy with you fine folks. And I'm not going to do as long of an episode today because my brother told me he doesn't listen to them really when they're too long. So I'm going to keep this shorter. Today's episode is about changing the frame, the perceptive frame, and how that is great for comedy. I'm fascinated by point of view because now with certain news items, you can totally see how people... How people have an ability of seeing the same event from vastly different points of view and interpreting it so differently, it's as if it's a different event. You know, there's this old story about five blind men, and they're all touching an elephant. And one of them says, you know, describes the tail, and one of them describes the tusks, and one of them describes the big belly, and they're all convinced that they are the ones that know what the elephant really is based on where they are. And so to settle it, they all go to war and stab each other to death. It's kind of a metaphor for the human experience. I think being a comedian, it's very necessary to be open to as many frames of consciousness as possible. I think it's comparable to being an MMA fighter. When the MMA first came out, there'd be fighters that were just judo guys or just taekwondo guys or just wrestlers, and they would get beaten every time by anyone that was capable of incorporating multiple disciplines of martial arts simultaneously. And I think comedians are a lot like that, and that's why I think you almost have to have a liberal brain to be a comedian, because you have to be so open-minded. But this is where it kind of bites a lot of liberals in the ass, is some liberals have become so liberal, quote unquote, that they're incapable of being open-minded to conservative views. Like a true open mind is open to closed-minded ideas, and sometimes closed-minded ideas are right. And when people say closed-minded, that has such a negative connotation, but in reality it doesn't. I'm gonna tell you a quick story, and then I'll show you some clips. And thanks again for your Patreon support. That will eventually probably be my main source of income in this world. And I will use that money to make these episodes much better. The sound better, the picture better, all my road clips better. It'll just be better. And if you subscribe, patreon.com/WDTL, you get to hear awesome conversations with me and my mom. And yeah, people seem to really enjoy those. And when I finally do self-produce an hour special, I will give you producer credit. Put your name right on there. I don't care if there's thousands of names, but you're all producers. Because somehow I have to avoid the normal path to an hour special because I'm not willing to do some of the things that they need you to do. Okay, so I recently bought a house on a lake because there's some great deals in Saranac Lake, and this place is just an unbelievable place. And it's this beautiful house on a lake, and we're gonna rent it out, vacation rentals, right? And it was built in 1890. This is a metaphor for progressivism and conservatism, how they have to work together. Okay, it was built in 1890, right? And so it needed a lot of updates. So these people that lived there started updating it, but then they couldn't stop updating it. And they kept going and going and going. And then they started rethinking everything and putting walls where there shouldn't be walls. And they built this elaborate dog run that came out of some weird hole in the wall that they put in. And then before you knew it, it looked like a mess. There was missing ceiling. You know, there's some parts that are absolutely stunning, some woodwork this guy was doing, and then there'd be no floor. And it's kind of analogous to what we face as a culture and as a society where, yeah, sometimes you need to update the electrical. Sometimes you need to update a bad roof. Sometimes you need progressives. Sometimes you need liberals. But you also can't just keep updating and updating and updating when you shouldn't, when something's done for the time being. And you have to know when to stop. And I've kind of identified progressivism as a form of, it's kind of a religion. That once you get going and once you get these tenets, I was raised Catholic. And so I was agnostic for a good chunk of my life because the Catholic structure corrupt that it made me distance myself from the entire idea of God and religion itself. And I've recently, not recently, but slowly but surely kind of changed my mind on that. Part of it had to do with the birth of my son. He had his heart stopped while I was flying home to see his birth. He was born early. And I found that out right as our plane was taking off. And I prayed to God while I was flying in the airplane to save my boy and to let him be born healthy. And when I landed, a lot of times when people do things like that, once they hold their baby, they can go back to agnosticism or atheism or whatever, but I really don't like hypocrites, and I felt like I would be a hypocrite if I didn't acknowledge that in times of extreme pain and fear, I feel God and I ask God for help. And so if that, when that fear is gone, if I go back to my willful ignorance of that moment, I'd be a hypocrite. And then I realized that a lot of my best qualities and a lot of my moral fabric came from Christianity, although I really don't like what the church did to my community and how much they used their power against us, which is the antithesis of what Christianity was supposed to be about. But I'm not gonna let a group of bad people take away my experience as a human being and my ability of connecting to something greater than myself, which I do naturally feel. All right, so anyway, let's not get too heavy on this. So this first clip, it's about frame shifting. Okay, so the guy that opened for me is dude Blake, hilarious. We're in Philadelphia, and he's doing all these Philly jokes, and the crowd's going crazy, and he's like a Philly insider because he's from Philly. So I go up, and with just one little giggle, I can make all these compliments about Philadelphia become jokes. That's called a frame shift. One tiny little giggle, adjust the frame just enough, the perceived frame, where that everything good I'm about to say becomes a joke. Watch this.
Man, this guy's been fucking so much fun all week. Please give it up for the very awesome Owen Benjamin, everybody! Yay! Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good to be here. What's up, Philly? Philadelphia. Yeah, good times. What's up, man? How are you? Good. Very good. I love Philly. I do. I swear to God, I do. Because it's a beautiful town. You guys are smart people. You're dumb. This is what I love about Philly. You guys have like indoor arguments outside.
You see that? Wasn't that funny? That's an element of life that comedians have to have. Where how do you make it so that someone's perception just moves enough where that everything becomes a joke? I'll show you another example of a frame shift that I find pretty fascinating. So I usually do about 35 to 40 minutes of stand-up before I even touch the piano. And I'm a 6'7", heterosexual white American man in his 30s who thinks his wiener's funny. You know, I'm pretty easy to people are like, oh, okay, I got this guy figured out. I go long enough until the last thing they think of me is that I'm possibly a classical piano player. And so just being good at something that they don't expect becomes a joke. Watch this.
You got doing what he loves. Smelling a dog's dick in the park.
I'm gonna play you guys a little music. You guys like music?
That's an example of something called the bigotry of low expectations, where blacks and Muslims and a lot of other people experience this quite a bit, where, you know, white liberals are like, don't tell Darnell that he'd be better off if he actually got a job. They can't handle it. Darnell cannot handle that. On the surface, that sounds very caring and compassionate, but in reality, it's one of the most racist, awful, bigoted things you can think, that a group of people can't handle it. You know, I mean, this Islamic violence is a perfect example of that, that people are so scared that Muslims will be offended, that people are incapable of pointing out that it's clearly a Muslim problem. Muslims can handle it. The good Muslims, you know, the Muslims that aren't at all scary, they can handle it. So point out that it's a group of bad Muslims doing some bad stuff, and they can handle that, hopefully. They can reform from the inside out. It's the same with me. Like, once someone sees a big old white man, Asians giggle their little asses off when they see the big white man play the piano so well. They're like, oh, big old white man, so funny, because he play because he make joke about his pee-pee. No way can he do anything we can do, ha 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 ha. And then just the act of doing it, it's kind of like when you found out that an Asian man won the Indy 500, it was funny. Because you're like, no way. And so I milk that as well. Here's another one. Here's me making fun of John Lennon. Watch this frame shift.
That song is written much better than Imagine. You don't see the flaws in Imagine? No. Imagine that no one has anything, man. Yeah? And I'm gonna play my big, fucking giant white piano in my giant house. Imagine there's no heaven, little guy. Where the fuck is my piano? I don't care at all. I'm John Lennon. I'm named after a communist dictator. Shit, I can't find this for fucking hours. No, what are the other words to imagine? It's like, you may say I'm a dreamer. It's like, but I'm not the only one. Yeah, it's called a fucking crazy communist lynch mob. I'm like, all right, now I'm not gonna box John Lennon. He was shot by a true patriot. Oh, Ben Griffin can hold a fucking severed head, but I can't say that. John Lennon's been dead for almost 40 years. By a real patriot who saw bullshit when he heard it. And he took him out. Took him down.
You see, that's also funny because Imagine is such a beautiful song, and I've loved it over the years. But if you actually think about it, it's one of the most arrogant, self-righteous, garbage songs ever written. Imagine No Possessions, It's Easy If You Try. Like, John Lennon was one of the richest artists who's ever lived. Like, when he's like, he's basically just like, hey, everybody, wouldn't it be crazy if like nothing mattered? It's like, yeah, why don't you give away your property then, John? You first. That's what I always tell my left-wing rich friends when they're like, we need to give more money to the people. And I'm always like, you first. And they never do. And I've noticed that a lot more right-wing people are more generous. Most of my Patreon supporters are not lefties, I'll tell you that, because they have the personal responsibility of supporting things they like. That's a frame shift that's happened in my mind over the years, is that I always thought that the Democrats were the really giving ones. But no, they just say they are so they can avoid actually doing it. That's the irony. And comedy is all based around irony now. And the problem with left-wing comedy, and I'm not going to say liberal comedy, because I still consider my brain liberal, because I'm open to ideas. But left-wing comedy is so bad now because they can't conceive of any other way of thinking than their own. And that's death. That's death. John Lennon's song Imagine is a steaming pile of garbage. And here's another, watch me disprove socialism in 10 seconds. Watch this.
That's it. I'll be on the raptor. I have handcrafted beer coasters for $5. I would give them for free. Andy got them, tried that. And the first couple guys just take all of them. And that's why socialism doesn't work. So, I'm serious.
It's true, by the way. I was really going to just give away my stuff after shows. But it's so easy to take advantage of. And if you want your own handcrafted beer coaster, go to hugepianist.com. They're $5. I'll ship them anywhere. I think that the left and the right need to work better together. And I think that they're in a almost like this genderized shame spiral that's bizarre. But lefties can't function without righties, and righties can't really function without lefties. And now people aren't arguing about actual problems. They're arguing about the argument themselves, which when is bad. You know, when you watch your mom and dad fight, it's better if it's like over a problem that they can resolve. It's not about how they're fighting. And that's when the left becomes very enabling. You know, they blame everybody but themselves. You know, it's like the mom that's like, don't you dare attack my son. He is perfect just the way he is. It's like, lady, he's been molesting the entire neighborhood. It's like, maybe if you weren't so sexy dressed, my son wouldn't have to molest you. That's how they act about Islamic extremism, the fact that black marriage rates have just plummeted to like 17%. Like, almost 90% of black children are born out of wedlock, and it's everyone's fault except for the people that just keep banging each other and not supporting the kid, and then problems ensue. But the right also needs the left, because you need to have that like uncompromisingly warm, like everyone's gonna be okay. You kind of need that a little bit, or else the right can just become very scary as well, where they can just logically see that the best way to handle a situation is maybe just like, you know, kill a couple million people. Although the left has a way bigger body count. But like, okay, if even our way of perceiving colors is a frame shift. The fact we see red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet has nothing to do with the visual light spectrum. The visual light spectrum is massive. The only reason we see the colors we see is because those were the color of fruit and the color of snakes. And our eyes function based on what we want and based on what we're scared of. And that's the only colors we see. Take that metaphor and apply it to every aspect of your life. You will see what you want and you'll see what you're scared of, but you won't see all the stuff. You know, like bats can see infrared. We can't see infrared because we don't have to see infrared when we're trying to get fruit and staying away from snakes. But like, just know there's a million types of visual light out there that you can't see. And as a comedian or as a fighter, you have to perceive as much as humanly possible, or else you can be blindsided. Like, I got a crowd of strangers in a predominantly left-wing city in the northeast of America to laugh out loud at me saying that John Lennon was shot by a patriot. That's not easy, ladies and gentlemen, to get people to do that. and it's because of the fun frame shifts. You have to give people an unexpected look at something expected. You know, like I also did a joke that was like, I'm so sick of people comparing Donald Trump to Hitler. He doesn't deserve that. And you hear your expected, like, oh, here we go. And then I go, because Adolf Hitler was a great leader. He got stuff done. And you may disagree with some of his policies, but he got things through. He made it happen. He didn't tweet against his enemies. He actually killed them. He got things done. And then I kept going where I'm like, listen, I haven't read Mein Kampf yet today. You know, I try to read it at least 4 times a week. But, and it, you know, like, I go so hyperbolic in the other direction that it's unexpected. And when you turn on Colbert or any of these late night shows, you know exactly what they're going to say every time. And that's why they're not funny. Because, you know, if Kathy Griffin held up the severed head of something completely different than what you expect she would do. Here's a quick Kathy Griffin story. This is what's so funny. This is what I'm trying to stay away from in my career, is staying away from being blind to my own problems. I used to interview people for Leno on like red carpets, and I interviewed Kathy Griffin once. This is maybe 2007. And I said, like, do you have any advice for me about comedy? And she said, be unexpected. She said that, and she used to be very good at that, where you do something that no one expects. But she is not that anymore. Like, to show Donald Trump's severed head is not unexpected for someone like her. That's expected. So I just really hope that I don't fall into the same trap that I see these people falling into, where you're so convinced that you're right, and you're no longer searching for the true laugh, or what people really believe, or what makes you artistically relevant, that you just, the ego takes over and you just start preaching. And I want to stay away from that. And doing this podcast helps me. And some of you are watching this on YouTube, and I appreciate all the YouTube love I've been getting lately. I've been trying to upload to YouTube more often to get that going, because I do see that mainstream everything is kind of breaking apart, and I want to carve out my little niche of this world. And so, yeah, thanks for hanging with me on this episode. Patreon.com/WDTL if you want to support. Email me at whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com. I'm going to do New York City in the end of June at Gotham. I will be doing my UK tour in September. I'm doing Texas in August. All of it's at hugepianist.com. Thanks for your support, because the connection between me and you personally, as an audience and as an artist, is my livelihood now. I don't get the network cushy deals these days because they're part of a religion. And I'm not joking. It is. White guilt is original sin. Baptism is being woke. You know? What are some other tenets of these people? What are religious? Okay, Orthodox is being vegan. You know, you like the black Americans are the Christ character. You know, they suffered for you. They suffered for your sins. Never attack them. They suffered for you. The reason Christianity is so much better than this garbage progressive religion, you know, even climate change has the rhetoric of the Old Testament. The seas will rise. The locusts will come. The world will be cast into a fire and brimstone as the earth warms 3.5 degrees in the next 100 years. Yeah, climate change, of course, is happening and caused by humans, but the left's inability of taking any responsibility for it and putting it on industry that they use all the time as they fly from city to city in their private jet reminds me of the Catholics when I grew up. And that's the function of religion, is to take bad religion, I should say. Not there's some religions, I've had Christian friends that I find very inspiring because of their ability, and Jewish friends and some Buddhist friends that like take it on, they take the responsibility on their own shoulders to practice the religion, and they don't look to some giant mothership to tell them what to do, because at the top of the mothership of a religion is a bunch of people that use the religion in order to live hypocritical lives while still having the moral high ground. Leonardo DiCaprio. they get to be the most wasteful, carbon-burning psychos and still say it's everyone else's fault because they make a little documentary that doesn't actually do a thing. Nothing. It does nothing. I actually have 10 chickens. A lot of people, I get all my food from 2 miles down the road. I still contribute to global warming because I'm on airplanes and I drive a car. But, you know, hey, Elon Musk, the new John Lennon, why don't you lower the price of your electric cars from 90,000 to 5,000 and let us peasants save the world too? Oh, I forgot. You're full of fucking shit, Elon Musk. Why don't you take one of your $1 billion and start a solar field somewhere in the middle of Idaho and just give the energy away for free to all the people. Give it to the people, Elon, with your own plane and your own heated castles. You won't do it because you're a fucking liar making money on the backs of people. But I'm all about Elon Musk as an industrialist. But don't get into religion, buddy. It's not suitable for you. It's not good on you, bud. It's not good on you. All right, subscribe, share this thing, spread it with your homies. Yeah, good talk. Mwah.